giving you higher protein levels without the risk of constant administration, because what EPO does naturally is to make red blood cells. So guess what? Your kids would get more red blood. And a heart already challenged doesn't necessarily need, you know, thicker blood. Some of our kids are taking Coumadin or some other blood thinner. So, and what we're also working on, so maybe with less higher doses, less frequently administered, would give you the good thing, more frataxin, and not the bad thing, more red blood cells. The other approach to that is to use what's called an EPO mimetic. You heard a little bit last year about a carbamylated EPO that Lundbeck, a Swedish company, was trying in FA. That was their initiative. So one of those drug companies came to us and said, what are your clinical outcome measures? What do you suggest about patient recruitment and so forth? They did this SIPO trial. Unfortunately, they decided at the end of the phase two they would not advance that drug, their carbamylated EPO for FA. Unfortunately, too, they have not yet published the data. So we don't even know if that carbamylated EPO increased frataxin protein levels or if it had any impact on the blood cell production. So, but we haven't given up on EPO. We're still intrigued by the signal that it increased frataxin protein levels. We saw that there were some anecdotal improvements in a couple of those patients in the early pilot studies. And so we're still hopeful of finding an ingredient there that's helpful. You've heard something about probably pioglitazone, which is the generic name for a diabetic drug called Actos. It's a Takeda pharmaceutical product. It's in trial with a long 2 to 3 year study that's called the phase two, phase three. This is the invention of a man whose name you know, Pierre Boustan, the gentleman, the French scientist who brought us idebenone. In 1999, and he's come up with use of pioglitazone. He thinks it could improve mitochondrial function because it activates molecules that are helpful in reducing superoxide dismutase and increasing, you know, things that no one's ever heard of, like PGC1 alpha. And to make a long story short, he thinks it's a good thing. And so that drug is on trial in France. We won't know any results for quite some time. Resveratrol is a drug you've heard a little bit about. That's the ingredient in red grapes, the only reason I drink red wine every night. And if you believe that, I should stop talking. That's on trial in FA in Australia. Martin Delaticchi, a wonderful colleague, is conducting that trial. It showed, believe it or not, this resveratrol showed in some cell models that it actually increased frataxin protein levels somehow. We have no idea what mechanism might be at play there, but it was worth a try because it was normally considered maybe a mitochondrial agent that could improve mitochondrial function. We might get a twofer out of that, but we don't know. There's one about which we know precious little. Its official name is ETB-761. It's really a natural or alternative. It's an herbal extract called ginkgo biloba. Maybe some of you have heard about that. It's on trial by a drug company called Ipsen, also in Paris, France, as opposed to Paris, Texas. I always have to, in this state, have to clarify that. But we really know nothing. We've tried to contact them, and they don't return our call. So those are the drugs that we know are in clinical trials. I want to tell you just a couple minutes worth about the drugs that are in our pipeline that are not yet in clinical trial. You've heard a good bit about, it's taprotaxin. This is a way that Dr. Mark Payne of Indiana University has developed to synthesize frataxin protein, to make it in his lab, and to attach to it a peptide, sort of a protein fragment called a TAT that belongs in mitochondria. So this TAT serves as the bus to, you know, you can hook up, it's got a trailer hitch, you hook up the synthetic frataxin to the trailer hitch, it drives the frataxin protein to the mitochondria, unhooks the trailer hitch, and leaves the taxid protein there to do its work. It's been tried in Ellen Puccio's mice. It's been effective. It gets to mitochondria. The frataxin protein seems to be metabolized in a normal way. We've been working for a couple of years to find him a good pharmaceutical partner. Shire Pharmaceutical picked him up, worked with him for about a year for reasons that I can explain to you later. The partnership was terminated because Shire didn't think it would work, but we think it would. I'll end it there, but we're now looking at various other solutions for Mark, finding different partners, finding him. He's also considering branching out on his own. So we are keenly interested in that approach. I'm going to turn to OX1, the very promising drug that BioPharma has licensed recently from Intellect Neurosciences. OX1, it could really be a twofer. It's actually, its mechanism of action seems to be that it could sop up some oxidative radicals. The reason that our mitochondria and then our cells are damaged and killed is oxidative stress, we believe. So this would not only take up some of those oxidative radicals, it could also serve, it appears to also serve, as a mild metal chelator. So if you look at the mitochondria in our FA patients, they're dysfunctional because they get an excessive buildup of iron that's not used, not presented correctly by the frataxin protein, because there's not enough frataxin protein around. So instead of that iron being presented to iron sulfur cluster assembly proteins to make iron sulfur clusters to make energy in our mitochondria, without the frataxin around, that iron just accumulates in the mitochondria, gives off electrons, it oxidizes, and these electrons are taken up by oxygen or hydrogen atoms, and they form, instead of forming energy and water, the natural result of mitochondrial function, they form hydroxyl radicals, oxidative radicals, and they kill the mitochondria and then the cell. So this compound that BioPharma is now advancing for clinical trials in FA could serve both to sop up some of those radicals that are formed, but in the meantime, chelate some of that iron out of the mitochondria, and it would be recycled by the available frataxin to get one more shot at making iron, doing a good thing, making iron sulfur cluster. So we're really excited and thankful. I guess I have only one more candidate that's out there that's very close, we think, to entering clinical trials. And it's a drug company that's fairly new to us. It's called, the drug company is Retrotope. It's a California firm, very small. Got a call from them last year saying, we've got this molecule that we think to be beneficial in FA. We've tried it in a CoQ10 deficient mouse, and it restored mitochondrial function. It shows to be neuroprotective. It could be protective of the neurons in FA patients. Where should we take it to be tested? We set them up with our best assay people, the same people that we've connected with BioPharma. They tested it in their assay. They like what they see, as they do with OX1. There was a Retrotope rep here this week. We've met with him several times before. They're trying to prepare their package. They've already done a phase one in healthy volunteers with this. I'll tell you a little bit about the molecule. It's a unique approach. It's replacing selective hydrogens in the mitochondria with, believe it or not, deuterium, which is an isotope that's usually used for tracing. If you want to know where this molecule goes, replace the hydrogen with deuterium, and it gives off a signal. It's like the equivalent of being fluorescent. You follow the green light through the body. This one gives off an isotopic signal that you can trace further downstream. In this case, they decided to try it as a therapeutic agent. And so they replace, it's called a deuterated polyunsaturated fatty acid. So a deuterated PUFA. And the mitochondria is full of lipids, full of polyunsaturated fatty acids. And this one, you replace a hydrogen in those polyunsaturated fatty acids with deuterium and hope for therapeutic impact. And in the CoQ10 deficient mouse model, they saw benefit. They saw restoration of mitochondrial function and neuronal protection. So where they think with the phase one in healthies already conducted, animal studies already conducted, they should be able to take a short path to the FDA to get approval to do a phase one clinical trial in FA patients. So that is it for the drugs that are in clinical research or about to be. One comment about the fact that that ignores all the basic research that we all continue to do because of your generosity. And we will continue filling what we call the treatment pipeline. If you look on the FARA website, you see the treatment pipeline with all those bar charts. And we're getting closer and closer to, you know, later stage clinical trials. And you'd see OX1 there. I don't think you yet see the retrotrope molecule because it's so new. But we'll keep filling those bars. We'll keep filling that pipeline until we get this darn thing. And it's because of you guys and your support. And two things that are going on to fill that pipeline are high-throughput screening and what Rob Wilson likes to call PECT wizardry. The first thing is high-throughput screening. Rob Wilson has had his own high-throughput screening operation with NIH funding. We started him off and grew him to 2 grants from the NIH to screen his assay, his wonderful FA yeast assay, screen it with 350,000 compounds that are in the NIH library that in many cases have already been approved for something else, or in other cases have been experimental drugs or something else. He screened his assay against all 350,000 compounds, came up with a dozen hits, did medicinal chemistry, narrowed it down to 1 lead candidate on which he now has a patent. And he's hopeful of advancing that patent into clinical research in FA. The other one, both Rob and the second beneficiary of that program were here this week with the AIM meeting that Sue referred to. It's Merrick Naparala of MD Anderson here in town. He used to be in Bob Wells' lab. You might even remember his name. He worked on what we call sticky DNA. And so he put his assay into, after a FARA grant and 2 NIH grants, he's just gotten it screened against the same 350,000 compounds. Different assay entirely. Rob's was about mitochondrial function. This one is about frataxin protein expression. So it would find things like HDAC inhibitors, and he's found like 20 compounds out of that 350,000. That showed him some increase in frataxin protein expression, and the NIH is already funding the medicinal chemistry to optimize those 20 compounds to pick out the best lead. HECT wizardry, as Rob Wilson likes to call it, is the creation of a wonderful scientist named Sid HECT. He was at the University of Virginia, now he's at Arizona State in Tempe, and he is doing designer drugs. Paul referred to these as designer drugs. He is designing mitochondrial agents along the lines of CoQ10, idebenone, 8001. He's looking for the best electron transporter that would help his mitochondria make more and more energy. And he's got a lead candidate he's got a very promising molecule, a set of molecules that he calls a mitochondrial radical quenchers that we're very much interested in trying to find more and more NIH support. So we will keep filling that pipeline. Don't forget, make sure your kids are on the FARA patient registry and make sure you sign up. If you got that electronic bulletin yesterday with the Repligen announcement of the clinical trial in Italy, it probably means you are signed up on our website. Electronic news. If you didn't get it, be sure tonight to sign up for electronic news. Make sure your kids in the patient registry, that your kid would be notified every time there's a clinical trial that begins for which your kid might be eligible be notified and say, please, if you're interested, still be up to your kid and you. If you're interested, please contact, you know, the following doctor or following coordinator, the following telephone number. And please consider, my last plea would be, please consider supporting and encouraging your member of Congress or your members of Congress to support a more robust NIH budget, a more robust FDA budget. If we can't get the NIH to support the basic translational and clinical science that those wonderful investigators need their help on, we'll never get to the finish line. And if we don't get the FDA the resources they need to review our grant, our clinical trial applications faster and better, we'll never get to the finish line. So please consider, we'll put out occasional pleas, you know, to you that now's the best time to write your member of the House of Representatives or your two senators. Please do that, and we'll get the best NIH budget we can get and the best FDA budget we can get so we get the treatments that occur faster.